It's believed that universal standards in maternity services will be amongst the additional recommendations included in the Miss Justice Mary Lefoy report that's due out this week. It's expected to suggest that all women in Ireland should have access to a 20-week anomaly scan. Dr. Keelan O'Donoghue is a consultant obstetrician and gynaecologist at Cork University Maternity Hospital. She's on the line now. Good morning, Keelan. We've spoken before about this, and you have always advocated that this should happen. If it's included in the recommendations, will you welcome that?
Absolutely. I think it's to be welcomed. I saw the story I think you're referring to yesterday, but obviously we haven't seen the full report from the Citizens Assembly yet. We recognise that obstetric ultrasound is a necessary component of antenatal care, and internationally the accepted minimal schedule for antenatal ultrasound is two scans, a dating ultrasound in the late first trimester, and then the fetal anomaly ultrasound scan usually performed between 20 to 22 weeks gestation. And particularly the latter, the second trimester anomaly ultrasound, is routinely recommended by all obstetric policymakers. So in a way, it's not surprising that it would be included in the recommendations, and it's certainly to be welcomed.
We always get confused every time we talk about this because the standards vary from hospital to hospital and county to county. Mm. How many scans should pregnant women have? There's the dating scan, which is the early one.
Exactly. So we recommend a minimum of two scans. So the dating ultrasound scan is about confirming the dates of the pregnancy and will also determine if everything is okay with the pregnancy. It can be used to detect the number of babies, for example, to diagnose multiple pregnancy. And will also diagnose some abnormalities because there are some conditions, not the majority, but there are some problems, for example, severe neural tube defects like anencephaly, which will be diagnosed at the dating ultrasound scan. So that is important. The second trimester scan, generally between 20 and 22 weeks, is recommended both to, again, confirm well-being, look at the size of the baby, confirm the location of the placenta, and then finally to undertake a detailed structural survey of the baby.
And if that happens, then you can spot if something has gone wrong. But the challenge for hospitals is not only to carry out all these scans and all the pregnant women, but to find the staff to do it, and you've struggled.
Yes, I think we would acknowledge that this has not been provided well nationally, and that access varies. We know from a survey that we have conducted from here, from Cork, myself and my colleagues have redone a survey done in 2007 and 2010, looking at all the maternity units, and seven units are providing anomaly ultrasound in the second trimester to all pregnant women. Seven units are providing it to some, and five are not providing it to any. And that's in early 2017. And those findings don't differ terribly significantly from the two previous surveys that have been undertaken. So it's important to reassure pregnant women. Obviously, there is lots of good practice being undertaken in ultrasound throughout our maternity units, and there are many education and training programs for clinical ultrasound. But qualified sonographers aren't present in every unit, and not every unit has resources in terms of the appropriate machinery. It's also important to say that I do think, because this was mentioned in the maternity strategy, almost for the first time, and again, if it is going to be in the Citizens Assembly report, that at least now it is written on paper that this is a requirement that all women must have equal access to standardised ultrasound services. And the new National Women and Infant Health Programme, which has been set up by the HSE to implement the maternity strategy, has recognised this issue as a national priority and is actively seeking funding for it for all maternity units in 2018.
Of course, if everybody is scanned, has the anomaly scan at 20 or 22 weeks, we're probably going to find more anomalies, aren't we? And it's then a question of what happens next. What choices do parents make? What can doctors do and what doctors can't do? There are still many questions that will be unanswered as a result of the scans being carried out.
I think it's important to say that the majority of ultrasound scans are going to be normal. Let's not frighten everybody. About 2 to 3% of pregnancies are going to be complicated by a significant fetal abnormality. There will be some more minor problems found in other scans, and some babies will be found to be small and needing ongoing surveillance for other reasons. So fortunately, the majority of pregnancies are going to have a normal ultrasound scan, and we also have to acknowledge that ultrasound isn't perfect. There's no such thing as a normal baby test, an ultrasound, even in the second trimester, even done by trained sonographers on the most up-to-date machinery, isn't going to find every problem in pregnancy. But for those babies where a fetal abnormality is detected, there's lots of things that can be done, even in the context of our current scenario and our current legislation. So you can plan delivery of the infant at the right time and in the correct place, so you can enable access to the appropriate neonatal services, and that's proven to reduce neonatal morbidity and mortality. Clearly, if you find a major diagnosis, that gives you time to psychologically prepare parents for the challenges of the pregnancy, the intrapartum and postnatal period, and it can allow parents time to adjust, and for those who choose to continue to make memories with the baby and to have the best experience possible. Obviously, the detection of a major fetal abnormality will also provide parents with the issue of choice as to whether to continue with the pregnancy or to terminate the pregnancy, the latter clearly not being legal in our jurisdiction at present. But it is certainly a discussion that is still had with parents by fetal medicine specialists like myself, as parents have the right to all information about the management of their pregnancy and their various options.
Were you surprised, Keelan, at the Lefoy Commission's report recommendations? I mean, they recommended free access to abortion up to 12 weeks gestation, which isn't in existence here now. If that was to be introduced in the morning, where would it happen? Would it happen in maternity hospitals? Would it happen in clinics? Would we rely on private providers?
Yeah, I think the provision of these services is far more complex than anybody realises, and the majority of people in this country, be they medical staff, hospital staff, or vast majority of society, don't have direct experience of how this actually works in practice. I've worked and trained overseas, so I have seen how this works at first hand, and I think we do have to distinguish between the scenarios of termination of pregnancy and the reasons, as were outlined in the report and that were put to the various members of the Citizens' Assembly. So there may be different provision of services for those in the first trimester compared to those women who are already booked in maternity hospitals who receive a diagnosis of fetal abnormality either at 12 or at 20 weeks or sometimes later. But I do think the provision of these services, whatever is ultimately decided by society whenever a referendum is put to them and based on whatever legislation comes out of that, is way more complex than anybody realises. And while there's been a very significant and important debate on fetal abnormality and the right of parents to choose to terminate an affected pregnancy while still acknowledging those who choose to continue their pregnancy, I don't really think it's been realised in this debate the role of prenatal diagnosis, the role that prompt recognition and timely diagnosis have, which is through access to detailed ultrasound, as we've been talking about, and also then the availability of fetal medicine specialists, presumably at hospital group level, where any suspected diagnosis is confirmed.
And how you move on from that. One listener makes the point here. It's all very well having the scanners, but don't we need to train the staff in the hospitals who wouldn't previously have been doing those scans? How likely is it that our system will get their ducks in a row so the introduction runs smoothly?
I don't think I have no concern about the provision of ultrasound services, and we're already training many sonographers in this area, and we already have fetal medicine services in all of the large units. So I don't have any concerns once we have the numbers and the resources are given to us to train a few more staff and buy a few more machines. I don't have any concerns about our ability to look after pregnant women and the rest of the family. I don't have any concerns about our ability to make those diagnoses or to counsel those parents. But providing termination of pregnancy services is a different question. And that's something that's going to need to be addressed by maternity services as a whole once we decide what care we are, what we are providing to parents in this situation.
Okay, Dr. Keelan O'Donoghue from Cork University Maternity Hospital and University College Cork, thank you very much for joining us.